Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Sean.
So there were some pretty big stories in state government this week. People might have noticed that there was this Dean County judge that struck down all of the laws that Republicans passed in the December lame duck session, something we've been talking a lot about here, and a very big ruling in that case.
Yep. And then there was that building commission meeting where Republicans voted against every single one of the projects in the governor's capital budget.
Both of these events maybe seemed on the surface like they were very conclusive, the final say in these huge stories. However,
we've only just begun.
That's right, friends. We've only just begun to talk about these lawsuits against the lame duck session and the governor's capital budget.
That's right. These stories have not only weeks of life left in them, they probably have months of life left in them.
So let's talk about what happened this week and what might happen next. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, endings that are really just beginnings.
Choose. We start out walking and learn to run.
That was, of course, the hit single We've Only Just Begun by The Carpenters, released in September of 1970. It's the quintessential beginnings song, Laurel.
It was
kind of low-hanging fruit. When we were looking for a song about beginnings, The Carpenters are there for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We should mention real quick that our resident politics nerd, John K. Wilson, is not here this week.
Yep. John will be back with us pretty soon, but we're going to be that like two-wheeled bicycle instead of the normal like blinged out tricycle that is the Paul Pod.
John is the bling in the podcast.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's the streamers on our
right
on our tricycle.
Pretty big beginning in one of the lawsuits that we have been talking about here for the lame duck session.
Mm-hmm.
This was the case filed by the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and other plaintiffs in Dean County Circuit Court. Judge Richard Neese held a hearing this week in this case. And just a few days later, he issued a decision that was very firm. There was no gray area, I'd say, in his decision as he viewed the law and this case.
Yeah. So this is the case, if folks don't remember, that revolved around sort of a procedural argument for the lame duck session. It essentially said that lawmakers didn't have the power to call an extraordinary session because it's not ascribed to them in the state constitution. So therefore, everything that happened in the December extraordinary session should be null and void.
Yeah. So normally when legislators meet, we say they're meeting in regular session. That term's maybe not used in the statutes, but that's how we refer to it. When they're not meeting in a regularly scheduled session, the Constitution says that the governor can call them back in special session. And governors have called special sessions back to, I think, 1861 was the first one. But these extraordinary sessions are relatively new, although they have been going on for 40 years in Wisconsin. But the first one was called back in 1980, mm-hmm. and they're called by a couple panels of state lawmakers, not the full legislature, but we usually say called by legislative leaders because it's leaders who sit on these committees that call extraordinary sessions. Extraordinary sessions are not referred to in the state constitution. That was the very kind of clean-cut argument by the League of Women Voters in this case. And Judge Richard Neese said, you know what? You're right. I mean, essentially adopted their argument in full and on Thursday issued a decision that it was a temporary injunction blocking all of the lame duck laws and 82 appointments that were made by Governor Walker in the waning days of his administration that were confirmed by the Senate last December.
Yeah. So basically what happened is that ruling was issued. And then pretty quickly after that, things kind of started happening, right? So Governor Evers, within just a couple hours of this decision, directed Attorney General Josh Call to withdraw Wisconsin from a multi-state lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. This is something that we've talked about extensively on the podcast, something the governor talked about extensively during his campaign, something he campaigned on doing, but lawmakers took away his ability to do that in the lame duck, right? So that was a quick move by the governor to say, oh boy, I have these powers again, or I have this power again. I'm going to go ahead and do this.
I was surprised at how quickly that happened, actually.
Quite fast, because the
governor and his staff had never quite said what they'd do if they suddenly got their powers back. And this was one that we've talked about a lot just because the governor campaigned on it. It was very fast from the time that the ruling happened to when they took this step. Said, take all actions, whatever he said, get on it, basically, his chief legal counsel said to the Wisconsin DOJ. And Josh Call said, you got it. And he withdrew Wisconsin from the lawsuit. The email from Call went out at about 1 p.m. on Thursday, a couple hours after we found out about the decision in this case.
We were lucky because as reporters, we were able to talk to the governor pretty quickly after all this happened, too. And to say, well, you obviously moved pretty quickly on this lawsuit thing. What else are you going to act on? Because there were a number of other powers that were taken away from him during the lame duck session, right?
Yeah. And it's a long list. And I actually kind of wonder what he might do next. So he could, in theory, had these laws never passed and the state of the law right now, as we speak, is that it's like these laws never passed. Judge Richard Nee says, forget everything. We're going back to the way it was before this session because this session was unlawful.
So as of right now, in this very moment, Tony Evers has the exact same powers that former Governor Scott Walker had in December 2018.
So Tony Evers could, in theory, rescind some federal waivers from the Walker administration, like one that initiated a work requirement for some Medicaid recipients or a drug testing requirement for food share recipients. Those would be some pretty big steps. Mm-hmm. He, again, through his Department of Administration, has jurisdiction over the security policies of the state capitol building. So right now at the Capitol, you can carry a concealed gun if you want. I don't know how the governor feels about that, but he could, if he so chose, decide to make the Capitol a gun-free zone, which is, it's one building, but I have a feeling like a step like that would get some attention, kind of the way that this Affordable Care Act lawsuit getting out of that case got some attention.
But what the governor said when reporters asked him, you know, what else are you going to do, governor? You've already done this lawsuit thing. He said that, you know, we're taking our time. We're looking at all these powers that have been restored to us. We don't really feel like we need to act quickly. That's something that people kind of pushed him on. Governor, don't you feel like there's kind of this window here that you're working within because there's an appeal pending? And if that is, you know, if the decision is overturned upon appeal or something happens with the appeal, you might just be able to act on these powers within a fairly short amount of time. So what are you going to do? Kind of what are your priorities? How are you going to fit some things in? And he said, you know, I really don't look at it that way. I'm really confident that the decision of Judge Nee is going to be held up on appeal or in any court. Because people also said, what happens if it goes to the state Supreme Court, which is something that could happen down the line. But the governor was like, you know what? I'm not worried about it. We're going to take our time. We're going to really be thoughtful about this because this is all going to work out.
And I just don't know if it is. I mean, the reason we're talking here is that there's a lot that could happen. I think the final thing you mentioned there in terms of the procedural steps, it would go to the state Supreme Court because it's in state court. Mm-hmm. And conservatives there have a 4-3 majority. And I would also say that conservatives there have a record of giving the legislature a lot of leeway in how it conducts its business. There are different people on the court now than there were back in 2011 when there was an open records case that challenged the way they passed Act 10. It was a procedural case. You know, the court said, you can't do that. You know, that's not the judicial system's place to step in and tell the legislature what to do.
Yeah.
So one would assume they might give the legislature broad leeway in this case, too. Judge Nee is saying, hey, show me in the Constitution where it says you can do this, though. And that's his argument. So he sent it out there in the world. And now the appeal process is already starting.
Yeah. So Republicans said this week that they are going to appeal Judge Nee's ruling. That appeal has already been made to the District 3 Court of Appeals, which is in central Wisconsin. And essentially what they're asking for is an immediate stay on the decision. So, or they call it an injunction.
They want an emergency stay.
Yeah. So they want that to be to be kind of halted, so those laws go back in place.
And like, their basic argument is that, like, look, it's chaos out there, okay? Mm-hmm. It, you know, people looting in the street.
With all of these things being
undone. You know, there's fire raining down from the sky, and Court of Appeals, you need to put a halt on this so that we can make our case, because right now it's just chaos out there. I mean, obviously they're not saying that people are looting in the streets, but they, if you read the first page of their a petition for an emergency stay, they are talking about chaos. Like, who knows what the governor or attorney general might do
with all this power.
With all this power.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and they're also mentioning the 82 appointments that Governor Walker made and were approved during the lame duck session. The two big appointments that they're referencing are one to the Public Service Commission, and then the Board of Regents appointment, I think, is something that people point to as well. Is kind of like these.
I don't know if they mentioned the Board of Regents in the brief, but the PSC they did for sure.
Yeah. And so these are, and according to Judge Nice's ruling, those positions are now vacant. Like, they're not only are the appointments sort of null and void and the confirmations null and void, but people that were appointed to those spots need to leave them. So that's kind of part of the argument, in addition to, you know, these new state laws that were put in place are no longer there. And they point out that it wasn't just laws that limit what Governor Evers can do. There were some other things that were passed during the lame duck session, sort of smaller things that they argue are very important to stay on the books.
Some tax law changes, too.
Yeah.
So the details of where this appeal may take place are kind of interesting. And I almost started to tweet about this. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to be able to sum this up very well.
Not in the number of characters that we have for the Twitters these days.
I'm sure it could be done. But then I remembered we have a podcast. So let's talk about it there.
Yeah. We have no limits here.
It's being filed. The appeal has been filed in the District 3 Court of Appeals. The District 3 Court of Appeals, it's based in Wausau. It covers basically the northern half of the state, I think 35 counties. It's significant because it does not, in those counties, Dane County is not among them. So even though this case was brought in Dane County, it's not being appealed in the District 4 Court of Appeals, which covers Dane County.
Now, that would be a logical thing, right, Sean, to appeal a case to the Court of Appeals that's in the same region? Why would the appeal have been filed somewhere outside of this region?
Well, it gets really thorny here. But yeah, normally when a case is filed, it's appealed in the same district where the case was filed. Mm-hmm. And the League of Women Voters, the plaintiff in this case, says that's what should happen here because these transgressions, we'll call them, occurred in Dane County. Our plaintiffs are in Dane County. Mm-hmm. It's not like we went venue shopping. Dane County is where this should be. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying we didn't make a choice for Dane County. We filed a suit here because this is where it belongs. Republicans are saying, well, no, actually, you chose to bring it in Dane County. And under a law that Republicans passed during the Walker years, when that choice is made to bring a case in Dane County, it can be appealed in whatever district you want. Mm-hmm. I think a lawyer out there is probably gnashing their teeth listening to my summary of this because I'm missing some key details, I'm sure. But what I want to get at is that there was this law passed by Republicans that let them take these appeals out of the District 4 Court of Appeals, which has judges that are elected by Dane County voters in large part, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't want to deal with them, so we'll shop it around elsewhere.
Yeah.
And League of Women Voters saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Don't. And they're telling the court, look, you can't just weigh in on this. We need a chance to make our arguments before you issue some kind of an emergency stay.
Right. And I think we should point out that, you know, Republican lawmakers have a history of talking about liberal activist judges in Dane County. So that's kind of, that's the perception of Dane County. That's kind of why they're wanting to get out of Dane County, if that wasn't apparent before.
Yeah. And even though these judges in the District 4 Court of Appeals cover more than just Dane County, they're based here. And there's some names you might recognize, like Joanne Kloppenburg is a judge in the Court of Appeals here. She was the candidate favored by Democrats in a couple Supreme Court races. Brian Blanchard, former Dane County District Attorney, is on that Court of Appeals. So some names you've heard of. So I had the fun of covering this hearing in Judge Nice's courtroom before he issued that ruling this week. Anything in there that, you know, from what you heard, read, saw, that you're like, hey, tell me more about that?
Well, I think that what was really interesting to me was this argument that throwing out what happened in this particular extraordinary session would have an effect on every extraordinary session that's ever happened. And there have been about 24 of them since 1980. What was kind of the conversation about that during arguments on Monday?
Yeah, I think that's what's so interesting about this case is that the plaintiffs are saying, hey, I know you think there are extraordinary sessions and that we've thought that for 40 years, but guess what? You're wrong. Everybody's been wrong. For the last 40 years, you've been wrong. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows this, and you got to stop it now. And defendants, Republican lawmakers, essentially, are saying, if you do this, it means you're going to throw out laws that deal with sex offenders, for example, or the law that set up the Fiserv arena. That's got to go. All these things crumble. If you take out the power to hold extraordinary sessions, they're all gone. So these are very, like, these are kind of extreme opposite arguments in this case. And the judge, Judge Nee, said, you're just trying, that's just a scare tactic, is essentially what he wrote in his ruling. He said, my ruling here is confined to the December 2018 extraordinary session. And that's that. Should we leave a little spot here in case there's news this afternoon after we record?
I think that's a very wise choice.
Okay.
Things seem to be happening.
Yeah. So let's just throw it to one of us in the future in case there's news this afternoon that changes everything we just talked about.
We've only just begun.
Oh, hey, this is Sean from the future. Look, we warned you that we had only just begun with this lawsuit, and it turns out we were totally right about that. A bunch of stuff happened in the afternoon after Laurel and I recorded this podcast way back in the past. One of those things is that Governor Tony Evers rescinded 82 appointments that were made by Governor Scott Walker and that were confirmed by the Wisconsin State Senate back in that December lame duck session. So Governor Evers says those are all vacant offices now. Republicans are not too happy about that. The other thing that happened this afternoon is that the Court of Appeals told everybody involved in this case, you have until 4 p.m. on Monday to weigh in on what you think about it. So the Court of Appeals is in the listening phase of this appeal. We've only just begun. Stay tuned. Now back to Sean and Laurel in the past. Okay, thanks, future usses. So you had a lot of fun covering the Building Commission this week in the governor's ornate conference room.
You know, it's really quite the conference room. I spent a lot of time in there this week, so I was really able to admire the burgundy and gold ceilings.
And yeah, they are not, it is not an understated conference room, right?
No, it's really something. It's sort of like if you imagine like the most ornate sort of like Hall of Mirrors at Versailles sort of situation, just like with the gold molding and stuff on the walls. But just imagine if it went all the way up on the ceiling. And yeah, it's sort of like you walked into a jewelry box or something. But yeah, that's where the State Building Commission met this week.
Lots of quotes on the wall and really, really strange little pictures here and there, like skeletons doing things.
Yeah, I don't really know what the skeletons are about.
I don't either. But if you're bored, it's a good place to kind of stare off into space.
There's a lot to look at.
It's not like just a beige conference room. There's a lot going on in the governor's conference room.
Yeah. And fun fact, the governor actually had one of those like little writings on the ceiling in his Facebook profile earlier this year. It was his cover photo.
The will of the people is law of the land.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you do recall, he mentioned that, I believe, in his like inaugural address or something. That was kind of his, like, the people elected me, and so I'm going to be doing stuff that lawmakers might not agree with.
There's another one in there that refers to frugality, right? And I think that was Walker's saying that he adopted. They both have something from their ceiling.
Something from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Don't
the ceiling has something for everyone. It's perfect for Wisconsin. You just pick whatever you want from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So the Building Commission, a board that we maybe don't pay too much attention to, but this week they were dealing with the governor's $2.5 billion capital budget proposal, building projects all over the state, $1 billion worth of building projects at the University of Wisconsin system. It goes to the capital budget. What happened?
Well, essentially, Republicans voted against every single item in the capital budget. So there were 82 different building projects. And they said, we are so concerned with the size of this capital budget, the amount of expense, the $2.5 billion, the $2 billion for borrowing, that we just cannot advance this with a recommendation. That's what the Building Commission does, is issues a recommendation to the Joint Committee on Finance. They said, this just really needs to be reevaluated. And that's the message that we want to send. So it was kind of a drawn out process because they did go through project by project and say, like, hey, some of these projects we might like in the end, but we just can't send the message that we approve of anything because we're so concerned about this package.
So the Building Commission, they deadlocked 4-4 on all of these.
Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, so there's an even split of Republicans and Democrats there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're done, huh? We're not going to build these things?
No. So that was a big part of the discussion during this meeting, was Republicans said, like, this isn't the end of the road. All of these projects are going to go to the Joint Finance Committee and they'll all be evaluated. There are certainly things here that we like, that we want to approve, and they will have a chance to survive. So a number of these projects will be done. They just have to have negotiations with the governor over how they're going to trim this down. Because I think it's interesting to mention, you know, Governor Walker's last capital budget was $1 billion. So this is like 2.5 times larger than the last thing Walker did. And Republicans are like, whoa, this is too much. It's kind of like the language that they had surrounding his overall budget proposal, like just too much money, too many things. We need to walk this back a little bit so it's responsible and, you know, we're doing the right thing by Wisconsin taxpayers.
You know, talk about procedural what-ifs here. There was a committee within the Building Commission which included some of these Republican lawmakers, and they approved some of these projects a day before they voted against them.
Right. So there are subcommittees that feed into the Building Commission. And all of these projects, all of the 82 projects, had been passed out of those subcommittees with unanimous votes. And so that was a big part of kind of Democrats' pushback during this meeting this week, was that especially when they were going project by project, they would sort of describe the project and then say, this passed unanimously out of the subcommittee. And then they would vote it down. And that was them sort of pointing out, as the governor has pointed out since, hey, Republicans, you were on board with this as recently as a day ago for these subcommittee votes. Why are you suddenly changing your mind and saying it's not okay?
So what have Democrats been saying since this vote that stopped all these projects?
So what Democrats are doing is really talking about the projects in detail that Republicans voted against as sort of a symbolic thing. So this vote by Republicans was to send a message to the governor that they're concerned about the capital budget as a whole. But Democrats are really pulling out some of these individual projects that are for, like, cancer research or juvenile corrections facilities or, you know, improvements to university buildings, things that people are really excited about or invested in, or things that are certainly in their district that their constituents want and have pushed for. And so Democrats are saying, like, look, Republicans are voting against cancer research. And
Tony Evers has an event in La Crosse today where he's talking about one of the capital budget projects that would be nixed if things proceed as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have anything else to add to this end that's a beginning?
I don't think so. I mean, this is just, we're at the beginning of the yellow brick road, Sean.
Oh, okay.
Like, the house has fallen out of the sky or whatever, and we're just setting out on our journey.
So the ruling from Judge Neese was the house falling out of the sky?
I guess or the Building Commission vote. And
yeah.
We're going to have all of these adventures along the way.
We're
going to meet people and go to different courtrooms and go to JFC hearings and just lots more stops along our journey.
I am not ready for the flying monkeys. Can we just skip that part?
That'll probably be in JFC, right?
Okay.
That's where all the crazy stuff happens.
That'd keep it interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And Sean Johnson is our Capitol Bureau chief.
so much of life ahead. We'll find a place where there's room to grow. And yes, we've just begun.
If you've only just begun listening to the WPR Politics Podcast, you should really subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you choose. You can also rate and review our show. That helps us out. And you can listen to all of our old episodes at wpr.org/politics.